This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome to This Week in Wrestling. We got rid of the dead weight this week, and all we have is Johnny Sorrow and myself. It's good. It's good to be... We're free at last. Free at last.
Oh, Jesus.
How you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing pretty good. Today was our final performance of Guys and Dolls in the production I was in, and we wrapped today.
Awesome. How did that feel?
It's great. It's bittersweet. I'm super happy to have my weekends back, but. You know, we all really like each other, and for a lot of them, they go immediately into the next one. But for some of us, like, I'll see you in 6 months. But so you spend all this time together performing together, and then it's like, this is the bittersweet part of the life of the actor.
Parva threw you under the bus on I was on his Ric Flair Mein Kampf podcast series.
His Nuremberg rally?
Yeah, exactly. And he threw you in the play under the bus on why we haven't done Titans in a while.
it's completely true. It's made it a lot harder, I admit it.
Yeah, I blame Kelly, too. And Parv, actually. I think I'm the only one who's been available. Like, I guess that says a lot for me not having a life. So the next play, though, is what, Wizard of Oz? Is that the rumor on the street?
Yeah, the rumor on the street. Yeah, it's Wizard of Oz, but I'm not doing it. Even though they wanted me to be the lion, and I'm not doing it.
What, you big time in him?
It's complicated.
The scenery isn't up to your star standard?
Yeah, that's it.
They weren't going to give you your dressing room? What?
That's it. No, I didn't audition.
Okay.
I was like, I didn't want to audition, but they approached me about the possibility of at least doubling for it, and then they decided that that wouldn't be fair to all the people who did bother to audition. You know that
I get you.
They do that to
politics,
me.
Politics, yeah.
It's politics. It's being fucking polite.
Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
You know, and I'm. Like, of course, you know, and I was like, I'm thankful that my weekend's back so I can do Titans again.
This
see?
Is true, and hopefully we'll get one out sooner than later. Today's
and
Sunday.
And Brainbuster.
And Brainbuster's coming back on a Halloween weekend, right? Is that the,
yes, sir.
Is that the rumor I've been hearing? Is that
yes.
The, you know,
it's very special. Very special Halloween episode.
Okay.
Eddie, get me my bag.
This could be epic. Or a train wreck.
Oh, it's gonna
listen. And it's gonna be.
It's gonna be Ed Woodian in nature.
Nice. So I'm also a big Bear fan. So they're on a winning streak of two games, which says a lot. Since just 2 weeks ago, people were saying they're the worst team in the NFL. So go Bears! Thank you for giving me a winning streak.
The fucking Broncos are 5-0, but their offense is fucking awful. it's quite a feat that they're 5-0 with just terrible offense.
Yeah, so we'll kick it off with the first fall with.
With the bell, that's wrong. We're ready for the first fall.
Kind of, the only thing we're talking about on the first fall today is NWA Classics. The reason we're not doing Ring of Honor Television is because I reviewed the whole Baseball Stadium show a few weeks back, so no reason to rehash the television.
Right. Now, that's, I just want to say that also really surprised me because we've talked about the last two shows about they had the pay-per-view, and now it was those two shows that were taped before the pay-per-view. I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be this week, and it still isn't. I was kind of looking forward to it. I kind of figured it was going to be this week.
Next week. So okay. It's San Antonio where our boy Will and I were at, and I'm sure I'll be my mug will be popping up all week all for the next month on Ring of Honor Television. Watch the ratings grow.
By the end of that, I'll be begging for the pre-tape stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You'll be asking for Japanese wrestling. This was Johnny's pick, and Johnny picked Harley Race, defending the NWA title against the handsome half-breed Gino Hernandez, 2 out of 3 falls, December 11th, 1980, Sam Houston Coliseum. What do you think about this one, Johnny?
Oh, well, everyone was talking about it. I was like, ooh, that's one of the ones when everyone starts talking about it that I make a point. I'm like, okay. Because I just watch the stuff at my own leisure. You know? And but that's one of the ones I'm like, oh, look at that. That's a must-see right away.
Yeah.
I read a little bit of what people were saying beforehand. I was like, okay, yeah, we got to do this tonight when I watched it. And it's fucking great. I mean, I don't think it's as great as the hype people had initially was. But the back half of that match was fucking awesome. I mean, the first fall had like Harley doing a lot of very slow motion bumps, like with his arms all wide out, like, oh, just looked awful. And, but then when it got kicking in and things started really getting rough and tumble and the blood started happening and Gino was covered and a portion of the crowd was starting to get behind Gino. Because a lot of people were like, oh, they turned the crowd. I'm like,
yeah,
not quite so much.
I was one of the guys at first. I thought they turned the crowd, and I was more taking my cue from Paul Bosch.
Yes. According to Paul Bosch, he completely turned the crowd. But what you were hearing and seeing didn't really reflect that.
The audio-wise, even Bruce said that the audio was a little off on this. But from what you're seeing, it seemed like the whole front crowd was definitely against Gino.
Oh, totally. The entire front crowd was definitely against Gino, and when Harley when it ended the way it did with the DQ and Harley winning, they jumped to their feet cheering that Harley Race just beat Gino Hernandez.
Yeah,
and there's you heard other like screams for Gino, like up in areas. It was definitely audible, but it wasn't this like deafening turn that the crowd turned and got behind him as their guy, because you know it didn't quite happen that way, but. Despite that, that's fucking is irrelevant. The match itself was awesome in the post-match stuff where Gino, if there was anyone still cheering him, you know, well, I would have been cheering him at the time, but that's the kind of fan I was. He just drags Harley in there and just it has a temper tantrum beatdown and steals the belt. That was awesome. I really like this a lot. And I think, again, anything that keeps proving the myth that Gino Hernandez sucked. Please keep bringing these to shatter that.
Yeah, he's been like one of the big revelations on the NWA Classics.
Oh, completely. And he's been one of my favorite guys to watch.
Yeah, he really has. It's like I always liked him. I even liked him in Dallas, but he. I mean, I can see some of the arguments against him on like he looked a little clunky here and there, but I mean he still got a lot of heat. I mean he still knew. He still played his role well, but
I loved him.
But here he actually seems smooth.
I loved the stuff he was doing, because like, people say, well, it's hard to have a bad match. People never say it's hard to have good matches against the Von Erichs. I read that recently. I'm like, really? Because I find that ridiculous. I've seen plenty of great Von Erich matches.
Exactly.
I don't know where that line of thinking came from.
Yeah, that's a crazy
talk. That's weird. We have a whole set of them that we watched. But Gino just played up being more sneaky. He actually bit Kevin Von Erich's bare foot to get out of a hold. Yeah. And I just loved that because I was just like, oh, what a scumbag.
Yeah.
And he played that so perfectly in the ring. So I was always a fan.
And how many heels got pictures taken with Farrah Fawcett?
And
I mean, Johnny and I lived during the Farrah Fawcett heyday, and that was a huge. Farrah Fawcett was easily top 5 like sex goddesses of the 80s. I mean, there was Farrah, there was Heather Locklear, probably Heather Thomas,
Cheryl Teagues.
Those are probably the big 4.
Bo Derek,
maybe, yeah. They were those were the cream of the crops, you know.
What's funny about because they published that picture in the magazines, like, here's Gino being a big deal in Hollywood. But I'm sure the actual story of that was, like, he managed to get into a party somewhere and someone snapped a picture as he just, like,
got in there. And I guarantee it. Since she was a Texas girl, she went to the University of Texas. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was somewhere in Texas.
It was in Hollywood.
Was it?
Pretty sure. Yeah, because he did try to go out to Hollywood and make it. Apparently.
Okay. Well, maybe so then. Okay. Well, we need to get Kelly on that. Backtrack and find the origin.
There's your next big wrestler biopic.
Yeah.
The fucking Gino Hernandez.
Exactly. I really enjoyed this a lot. I gave it 3.5 stars, and my favorite part of the whole entire match was the post-match 2, where Gino's jumping up and down like he's like won the World Series single-handedly and stuff, and it was just really good. And Gino's such a rat bastard, and he's just cheap-shotting Harley throughout, and you know, and Harley has that reputation of being a man's man. So they had that like dynamic going in this match, and it was really, really good. I suggest everyone really just go check it out, because this is Gino at his like most dickish self, and Harley straddling the line between babyface and heel. You know, he worked part of the match as a babyface and worked part of the match as a heel, and those punches of Harley's just looked so, his fist looked so huge when he was punching Gino, and the headbutts and the blood, just a really good, strong NWA title defense. And I mean, yeah, I can't put over this the service enough. They've been slacking a little bit lately on uploading a match every day. I can survive.
Boo-hoo.
The amount of just classic matches we've never seen before that right. They're uploading at this pace is sickening. Yeah. I mean,
that's just me. That's me. But everyone who's going nuts. But there wasn't a new daily one today, and I'm just like, it's like the same people who like said, like when they got the network and within a month they go, I've watched everything. It's like, where do you find the time to watch all this shit? It just seems that it's awesome that they do it, and they'll probably go back to it here and there. But I'm just like, you know, it's not really something to get all that worked up about, considering how awesome it's been.
Yeah, I mean, we had this match. I mean, we've had so many. I mean, there's at least 30 or 40 just classic gems in this library.
And solid fun stuff.
Yeah, and solid fun. I'm not even talking. Yeah. And I mean, there's solid fun stuff. It just runs the gauntlet of so much different stuff, and it's just pretty awesome stuff. And I hope people, I really do. I mean, I know I've been, like, sounds like I'm begging, like I own for partnership in the damn thing, but I own points. But I just wanted to be around and when we were able to get all the footage, because right now it sounds like we have like another 2 years worth of footage to come.
If you're like a role playing type, you know, nerd, unlike the comic nerds and wrestling nerds we all are, create a card with the footage available.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that'd be a fun little game to do with like all these individual matches. Because like, if I was gonna make a great card out of what they've provided already, I'd make this card. I mean, that's like an idea I thought.
I've put a lot of work on it on Pro Wrestling Only, where I'm grouping the matches together that are actual cards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, they're forming pretty deep. I mean, pretty much, you know, 4 or 5 matches. They might not have every single match, but right now they're getting a lot of cards that are like 4, 5, 6 matches on there. So you're getting a kind of pretty good feel of what the territory was like.
I'm proposing a complete anarchy.
And there's Johnny's anarchy, you know. What do you expect? And that's the end of the first fall, and we got nothing else. We'll take a little breather, listen to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation, let them hit some plugs, and then sit back, relax, and we'll be back for fall number 2.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope. Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
All right, now, back for the second fall.
And we're on the second fall, and we are looking at Revolution Pro Uprising. It just happened last week in October of 2015. It's kind of like the Ring of Honor Super Show with the New Japan talent. Revolution Pro had their chance, and they had a pretty damn good show from top to bottom. They opened up with Shaw Samuels and James Castle versus Tenzan and Kojima. I thought this was the worst match of the whole entire show. It was like a star and a half. It was kind of a okay tag. Tenzan's pretty broken down, and I don't think much of Samuels and Castle. So we got kind of what we were expecting. The next match was Martin Kirby versus ACH. I gave it like 2 3/4 stars. It was a solid match. I hated... ACH hits the Brainbuster to set up his finish, and Kirby immediately pops up from a Brainbuster. The no sell was like right before the ACH then missing his finish.
Well, that answers my question that I had when I heard his name was it Marcus? What?
Martin Kirby. What?
Oh, you said Martin Kill Kirby?
No, Martin Kirby. I was misreading my writing. I thought I was going to say Kilby. I wrote a kill and then I go Kirby.
Okay, because when I heard Martin Kill Kirby, and I'm like, that sounds like he should have like a rich boy pansy gimmick. And then right. You said he like no sold a Brainbuster. I was like, well, I guess not.
he no sold ACH Brainbuster, which usually sets up his finish. So I just hated it. Next up was Nakamura versus Big Damo. I give this like 3.5 stars. That's actually pretty damn good. Damo, he's a pretty big guy and he's pretty freaking hairy. And Nak puts his head on his chest and then he starts like coughing up hairballs. I thought that was pretty funny and having to pretending he was pantomiming, pulling hair out of his mouth. And, I really like that. And then even like a minute later, even like 30 seconds later, he gets punched and he mimics, you know, coughing up another hairball. So I kind of like the comedy there. But they finally built and they got into a pretty fun finishing run. And it was a real solid match. Damo shows a lot of promise. He plays a giant pretty good, but at points he needs to stop some of the big moves because he was doing a little overkill. And then towards the finish, they got a little, it looked a little dangerous with some of the neck dropping on Nakamura, where I didn't think we needed it. And then Damo kicks out at one at Nak's finish, but then Nak hits it again and then wins. I don't know what the point of going with I'm not a big fan of hitting the finisher twice, but once he hits the finisher and then kicking out at one, I thought that was pretty much overkill. Then we got a fun little tag of Okada and Gato versus Liger and Tanahashi. I think it was like another 3.25 star match, though. I thought Gato was really the star of the match because his shtick was really good. Him and Liger really work. Even I mean, they're both past their primes, but they have enough stuff to keep stuff interesting. And Gato and O'Connor really brought it. Tanahashi he did his dive, so they all brought at least worked pretty. I don't want to say super hard, but they worked hard enough. And then we had a rematch from the Super Junior Tournament Finals, which was Kushida versus O'Reilly. And a lot of people gave this match of the night. It wasn't mine, but I gave it 3 3/4. They had a nice feeling out process, and I was digging Kushida going after his hovercraft arm lock. And they did a lot of you know their normal shticky stuff. O'Reilly going after the arm and Kushida going after the arm. So they had a pretty good story. But at times it looked like there were some spots that were a little goofy for me. They kind of took it down. Next match is Mark Haskins versus Naito. I'm a big Haskins fan. I like him because he works a real nice stiff style, but he has a really good basic good psychology. And Naito is really trying to find his own as a heel, but he really worked hard here. Naito was really working Haskins' neck, and we got a good fun shine by Haskins, and we get some nifty arm work, and then Naito cuts him off and starts to get the heat by working his neck, and it all played into into the neck work, and it was really cool. Next match was a match I didn't really care for. It was a no DQ between Josh Bodom and Jimmy Havoc. The one thing I'll say for it, though, it was different than anything else on the card because it was a straight-up, blood brawl. But it was just, weapons and stuff. And I'm not really a fan of it. And I don't think they really needed it here. But it was what it was. And then the main event was AJ Styles versus Will Ospreay versus Marty Scurll. A really good match. I gave it 4 stars. Early in the match, I was really digging Scurll just destroying Ospreay's arm. And they had this really, triple kick section that was really good. But this is just like any other three-way where it's, it's real go, 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 go. There's not a whole lot of selling. It's more based on holy shit spots and, this is awesome. And it did. And it lived up to that reputation and delivered. Overall, I thought it was an easy thumbs-up show. And they delivered. And they had a couple more of these type of shows set up. And I'm going to maybe review next week or the week after the next one. That was main evented by AJ Styles and Jushin Liger, and they kind of just mixed things up. And I heard it wasn't as good as this show, but I'll see for myself. And that's really the end of Fall Number 2.
And so is this actually where we need Steven?
Yeah.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Ol' Will from Texas.
There's Tag Teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO-PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
It is now time for the third back to live action.
And we are all at fall number three, and we're going to look at some WWE stuff. Let's start off by the behind-the-scenes NXT special, looking at NXT Brooklyn. What do you think about it? What do you think of it, Johnny? What do you, like about it?
What I like about it, you obviously already assumed that I liked it, because who wouldn't? This was so amazingly well done. You know, say what you will about WWF, but or WWE, but when they get it right with this shit, they get it real right. And this was outstanding. This was just as good as anything you'd see on ESPN of a similar nature, as far as the production values and just how it was done. It was amazing. I got choked up many times. I laughed a lot. My favorite was when, the supermodel dude,
Tyler Breeze
is like being interviewed, and Regal comes walking down the hallway, and just in the middle of his interview with the documentarian, just looks at him with a serious glare and goes, "Don't disappoint me." And walks away. Yeah. And Tyler Breeze is like kind of cracking up, like, oh, he just totally ripped him.
Right.
It's so funny. And showed a lot of that feeling that I guess those vets who work down there have for these the young people that they're working with. They're really invested in them. And that comes so through. Especially with like Regal and when you see a lot of the trainers and stuff down there. And yeah, it was the Bailey stuff and everything in it, just everyone came off so well. And enjoying that Brooklyn special so much, this was just a great little extra thing to have.
I agree. I liked it too. Have you seen online? I think online people loved it too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah. Totally. I just want to ask you a couple questions. You know, would you say online people are more, I don't want to say, yeah, let's say the hardcore community, they seem like they're more supportive, or they claim to like NXT more than the WWE, even though they're the same company. But yeah. they like to group them as two separate entities. Obviously our friend Stephen Graham, and I know our buddy Tim Livingston, they both are big NXT guys. Would you say that on what seems like from the online community, that NXT is viewed in a better light than the WWE right now?
Oh, yeah, completely.
Okay. So do you think if this thing was titled, "Look How Great Triple H Is at Doing His Job Right Now," do you think it would have gotten the praise that it got?
Okay, I read that comment too. As soon as you start saying that, I was like, oh, right, I know. Okay, obviously that's a joke that would never actually be the time.
I get exactly
what you're saying.
But pretty much, in theory, a lot of this fingerprints was showing totally. Triple H as, like, we saw Sasha refer to him as daddy.
You saw him
with his fingerprints all over the backstage and running this show and all this.
Yes.
So, I mean, in essence, it was a Triple H, look how good he is at his job. I mean, it's almost like a freaking resume he was doing.
I wouldn't say that that's what the special was supposed to be.
I'm not saying that it is what it was supposed to be.
I'd say, though, if you were saying if the online community saw that title on it, and show the exact same thing, they would be boo. In fact, there has been a lot of that going on where people are – I've actually read this where people are like, just because he's doing this and providing this for us now, does that mean we are to forgive him for what he did through 2002 and 2004? I think not. And I was like, what the fuck is the matter with you? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, or do you think if the WWE did this same type of show and it was about SummerSlam, which was a show that got mixed reviews, but there was a lot of good stuff, and they could easily spun a hell of a documentary about it.
They could.
Do you feel the online community would have embraced that as much as they did this NXT special?
It depends on how well done it was. It wouldn't be as embraced because there's. It depends on the spin they did on the SummerSlam special, because in this, it's about plucky underdogs. You know, who doesn't love a fucking plucky underdog story? Because that's what this was.
Right.
And so it'd be hard to be like, and here's the main roster of guys and girls who made it. You know, so you'd have to find an angle on it instead of just how happy they are to be there. That'd be ridiculous. Because this is my 15th SummerSlam, but it feels like the first one. Yeah, no one's going to want to watch that.
All right. I was just curious because, I mean, I got a lot of praise and deservedly so. But there was a lot of stuff. Like, you know, honestly, if the NXT special ended up on a Triple H DVD.
But no, so jaded.
Yeah, but I think the fans would have. I don't think they would have embraced it as much as they did.
Just watching the mental breakdowns of people on the internet who can't resolve their hatred of Triple H for everything, including the Holocaust and the Hindenburg blowing up, to the fact that he is in charge of everyone's favorite wrestling 1 hour TV show and specials.
Yeah,
they're having a hard time.
I think the guy's done a hell of a job with NXT. I think he's done a great job promoting the brand, bringing it out, making it seem special, making it the happening place. He's done a fantastic job. And I find it funny because a lot of these same fans can't stand the guy. And
like I'm saying, they're finding there's now like people trying to find reasons to be like, well, you know, maybe it's not just him or trying to find ways to. Oh, he's only doing that. We may like it, but he's only doing it to try to appeal to people like us. Oh, really? Well, it's.
Yeah, because I can
it's called marketing.
Yeah, because if they did say, look at Triple H behind the scenes or something. Now, that's a title they might use, okay? Yeah,
well, apparently.
And
well, apparently,
I think people would have crapped all over that show.
Well, considering he was barely in it.
He was in it quite a bit, and his name was dropped
really.
Quite a bit. Yeah, he was.
Not compared to the talent whatsoever.
Okay.
But apparently, during the press conference thing, he mentioned the word a niche product,
yeah,
for it, and that's gotten a lot of like, oh, niche, huh? He just considers us niche. I was like, oh, just enough. You never even met the man. Just stop.
Exactly. Well, I liked it too. So I'm gonna move off. I just find it interesting because I really feel like they could easily. If they presented it differently, give it a different. If and then pretty much this is like, hey, look how pretty much the whole entire show was saying, look how awesome NXT is. My take though is if the WWE said, hey, look how awesome WWE is, and then because it's not the flavor of the month, I think a lot of fans would not have liked the would not have embraced the special as much as they did. But I thought because it was NXT.
Oh, no, because they'd say immediately that it's just a dumb hype piece.
Yeah, exactly.
When this is a hype piece just as well. It's so well done, and it has people in it that we care about in these roles, you know. Like, trust me, no matter how much Triple H was on it, never once when he was on it, even being very sincere, did I get a tear in my eye. It was when I'm watching fucking Bailey, you know, and some of these kids Sasha, going on about finally doing it. That's Sasha. That's when I'm getting all choked up about this. Like, it doesn't really matter. At the end of the day, the cream rises to the crop of what people take away from the program.
True. Did you see the special, NXT special?
Oh, I did. Yeah, we did a reaction show to it as well.
Oh, you're on that one. Okay, I didn't know which one you were on. I wasn't sure if you were on that one or the SummerSlam one. Or not SummerSlam, but the house show. Were you on both?
Oh, no. I was doing Guys and Dolls for the house show.
Okay. So if you want to hear Johnny and I's more of opinions, listen to our reaction show we did with Will.
Oh, so you don't remember me being on it, okay?
I mean, you don't understand how when you have so many damn shows and I've been busy at work this week.
Okay, now
and I the fact that we all loved it, so there wasn't a whole lot of Johnny having a spin doctor stuff on the show.
Oh, please.
You know? So... So,
dude, and I thought I was high that show. You were so high you forgot I was there.
Exactly. Well, part of it was because I was half asleep when you guys were calling me, hey, you're going to do the show? I'm like, fuck, oh yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Stuff. So, yeah. So then let's go over at the table for three. And we had DB, Daniel Bryan, Ryback, the Ryback, and Dolph Ziggler, the Intercontinental Club. What do you think, Johnny, of it?
I had so much fun watching this. Because, yes, the initial theme was all former Intercontinental Champions, and they're going to talk about that. Well, I think that lasted maybe
5 minutes.
You know, and then it just got into three dudes who have been on the road together for a long time, two of which, the Ryback and Daniel Bryan, were traveling partners with Cody Rhodes for quite some time, and them just busting balls, just like three friends sitting around busting balls, and you always, it don't matter who's the biggest guy, because you're all friends. Once the target guy can be found in a busting ball session,
yeah,
and he becomes the target, and that target was the Ryback.
Yep.
And you know he knows it, because he doesn't seem particularly stupid or anything. He's just, you know, very focused on what he's focused on and can be easily, you know, fucked with. You know, and seems like a very nice guy who's able to put up with it. But they just fuck, especially Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
You know, just tearing him apart while Dolph sits there and giggles. And then they're telling the stories. When they get to telling the fucking stories, you know, and they're making shit up about Ryback.
Yeah.
And he's like, you shouldn't say stuff like that, you know? And he's like, no one's going to really believe this. It's him.
It's like Will ribbing me, you know? I was the Ryback, and Will with his inner, Young Bucks, and how I like spotty wrestling. Shit.
Yeah, and it's, hey, I get it. I get it a lot, too. And, but when they say, they're like, that he wanted to somehow impress Brock Lesnar, the first time he was going to meet him. So they're like, so he took a Cialis, you know, to give you a fucking hard on. And he's like, I can't believe you'd say that. You know, people are going to think, he's like, no one's going to think you actually
did that.
Thought you were going to impress Brock Lesnar by walking up to him, and they do the pose like he's sticking his dick out. Hey, Brock, how you doing? And oh my God, I was just, when it ended, and it ended so abruptly that I thought my feed, had fucked up.
Yes.
And rewound it right and started right away and fast forwarded to the end. And no, it just cut abruptly. And I was like, I could watch this for another 2 hours.
Yeah, I agree. I was having a lot of fun.
So great.
Now, speaking of the Ryback, he's a big endorser of The Secret. You know, have you ever watched movie?
Oh no! No, I'm not all into that horse shit. But the way I feel about it, and that self help shit, is if it works for you, then fine. And apparently, it works for him.
Yeah, I dated a gal. This was years ago, and she goes, "Oh, Pete, you gotta watch The Secret." And I was really into this gal, and I'm like, okay.
Was it a book? I thought it was a book.
I watched the movie version. It was a book. It started out as a book. I watched the damn movie. And I had Marley Matlin in it, and I'm like...
Marley Matlin?
Yeah, I'm like, okay, this is it. I can't, this is stupid. This is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, how is she supposed to reveal the secret when you can't understand a word she fucking said?
Yeah, I was utterly confused the whole entire movie. And I'm like, wait, so this is just positive thinking?
Pete, it's about thinking the best about what you can do.
Yeah, there was a lot of bubble talk and stuff. It was fucking weird. I'm like, we broke up like a week later because I thought can't possibly date a girl who takes this thing so. I mean, she talked about it, and I was just like, okay, just blow it off. Like, I'm never really going to watch this or read this book.
See, and not so only, only on This Week in Wrestling. Could we somehow find a way to do a Marley Matlin reference?
Exactly.
And offensive imitation. So I think we should take a vow, the two of us.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, so anyone who, you know, obviously if I knew Ryback and I knew he was the guy of the secret, of course he would get hazed. I mean, there's no doubt. That's like just putting chum in the water.
They did it on Raw. One of the things they cut out of Hulu was like when Kevin Owens like made fun of him for reading self-help books.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, it's one thing to actually do it, but it's the other thing to actually acknowledge it. I just find it insane.
But like I said, apparently it works for him. So,
and you know, since the show's going so short, we're gonna get hit. You watched the other one, the Brass Ring one, right?
Yeah, I did. Oh, let's cover it. Ask you that.
I watched it. Let's cover it. And
totally.
Go on. What about it?
Oh, dude.
Okay, this has Cesaro. It has Kevin Owens, and it has the most. Dean Ambrose, who I never want to eat dinner with. what a disgusting animal. Why don't you cut your chicken into smaller pieces? What the hell are you doing? I was just disgusted by the way he ate.
I didn't think that was chicken. I thought there were some sort of like wontons.
What the? Why?
I don't know.
All right. I thought it was chicken. Okay, maybe it was wontons, but. Ridiculous. Okay, go on. What do you think about it?
It was chicken. It was really tough chicken because he was just tearing at it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what the hell it was.
Number one, I will address that. I've read people going, all these people online going, oh, Ambrose is such a disgusting, disgusting table manners. And then I read someone else going, oh, Ambrose and Cesaro just have disgusting table manners. And I was like, am I like hanging out in forums full of a bunch of fucking? You want to see my fucking table manners?
No, I understood what the Ambrose talking point. But what the hell was Cesaro doing that was so wrong?
Talking while food was in his mouth. I guess there's a lot of guys online who are very severely beaten by their mothers for not having perfectly proper table manners.
Well, I mean, but you're doing an interview at a dinner table. I mean, you're gonna have food in your mouth at some point.
Or I'm just saying, even Ambrose, fuck it. That's how I eat when I'm hanging out with my friends.
Then again, Ambrose is, you know, totally in the gimmick. I like how he talked about how they wouldn't let him in without a dress shirt.
Right. I can wear t-shirts. What the fuck? Because that was a theme of it. One of their themes of it, and I think maybe some people were disappointed, was I guess they were probably tuning in to want to hear them maybe complaining. And there was no fucking complaining going on. Yeah. It was all just like, remember when we had to do this shit? Look at us now. You know, that was the theme of this one.
Yeah, it's like they're making more money now. You know. Obviously, Kevin Owens loved working with John Cena. You definitely got that. You kind of got a vibe that Ambrose is kind of in his own little bubble because he had no clue about Owens' kid, the video thing that went viral. Cesaro did.
Well, if you were spending your spare time banging Renee Young, would you be watching YouTube videos?
Good point. And the other thing, and Cesaro comes across as totally, and they all come across like they all want to steal the show. Having the best match on the show is the most important thing, which is just funny.
Trying real hard, you know. Because Ambrose, wish we'd get the drop of it, but he did that whole. When you're with some veteran and he's pretending to smoke a cigarette.
The walk and talk.
We do a little walk and talk and this and that and blah, blah, and a Tennessee two-step and slip on a banana peel and we're out of here, kid. Yeah. And he nailed it. I've heard it done before. And I was like, that's hilarious.
This one felt like it was building and building, and then he went to the and I thought this one closed out of nowhere.
I agree.
Where I finally thought they were getting some gas and going, and it was like, what?
But I never would have thought I would have heard CZW talked about that much on a WWF television program. Ring of Honor, I would expect at this point. Not all this CZW talk, and that's all they fucking talked about. Was fucking trying to get to CZW gigs and fucked up shit that happened.
Yeah, I like that. Kevin Owens comes across as, you know, like the ultimate family guy, just loving his family.
And getting a kick out of these two. He's just sitting there getting a kick out of these two.
Yeah.
But I liked also the comment, I think Cesaro mentioned it, when they were, I guess, in Japan, and he looked around the locker room and looked at everyone in the locker room. He still calls Ambrose Mox.
Yeah.
And said that, oh, my God, this could have been any indie locker room that I've been in 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 10 years ago. And 10 years ago. And how that sort of like how that hit him. Like, wow, fuck, we did it. You know, so I'm sure there's a lot of people who aren't enjoying this because they probably were expecting, you know, bitching about pushes and what have you.
Are you just reminding me? I want to go back to the NXT special because this just reminded me of a great story in there. Was when Hunter was talking about how FCW, how it all started in this small little four, you know, a little tiny room, and how he brought it over to Full Sail. It's almost sounded like a Vince meme about how the wrestling used to be in all these
arenas. Except for the fact, at no point does he say, I did this. Vince would say,
I did this.
Yeah. I did this. At no point does Hunter say, and then I came in and did this.
No.
That's not in there.
No, he didn't say that. No, but he did say, it developed into what we have now. And
is he lying?
No, he's not. No, I just found it sounded like a Vince talking point. It almost sounded like a Vince history lesson. Like, you know, now there's in Hunter's, okay, what I've done, what Vince has done. Okay, I'm taking my.
You're not going to let go of this. You're like Jesse Ventura with this conspiracy theory.
I'm not.
But he kept saying we. He never said I.
No, you're right.
Vince would say I.
Yeah, I use the we as a manager. I always use the term we. We did this really well, guys. We, even though it might have been me. I always say it's we with my team.
Oh, you're like Triple H, aren't you?
Yeah, I believe in I believe in developing a team. So, and I think Hunter is the same way. But then, you know, Vince is this totally alpha male. Back to the other one thing. I don't mean to bounce back, but yeah, it was such. Didn't it feel like though it just abruptly ended? Like
Like you said. I still get a laugh and fall, feel like, oh, how uncouth of them. I was like, really?
The wrestlers.
The wrestlers, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
But again, these continue to deliver. And like we said, the last two were like, oh, we could have had more.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's good. You get 20 minutes of just gold.
Yeah.
And maybe if you wanted more, you'd get tired of it.
True.
So,
and the next one is Sting, Vader, and DDP. I'm looking forward to that one.
Sting, Vader, and DDP. That should be really good. Or
a train wreck.
A train wreck. It depends. And I love DDP.
We could see Vader doing yoga poses. I mean, in Florida.
Now, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people like fucking their... everything has a backlash, and you know DDP can be an abrasive personality.
Oh yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, fuck that backlash. I heard them all because they're doing the media tour. Him, Scott Hall, and Jake for the movie.
Yeah.
And they were on Opie and Jimmy, and it wasn't like all here. You know, and here's all the pitch for this and that. It's just all they foster a talking atmosphere. On XM, and you're hearing the way DDP was on that is he was letting almost everyone else talk, and he was coming in and far less like trying to sell a product, even though he was, but into just actually talking in a normal tone about what he did with them and the challenges and stuff. So I was like, you know, so you can be an obnoxious salesman, you know, he did a great thing here, so calm down.
All right, let's move over to the mothership. No, that would be Raw, because I'm Dusty Rhodes. we do the Hulu version here on This Week in Wrestling, because I'm not a masochist, and Johnny doesn't have cable, and neither do I. So, and I'm happy for it. So we get open up with a Rollins-Kane video recap, followed up by a Brock Heyman segment, recapping the Taker, and Big Show comes out. What do you make of all this?
Well, that's pretty much what you said. Paulie's still good on the mic, but it's all about Big Show coming out and Brock just being a dick. His Big Show comes out. He's all, you know what? You know, you are the beast, you know, and I'll shake your hand. And he just big times him. Just laughs at him. I mean, it was awesome to look at, you know, and then Show mouths off at him as he's walking up the ramp, and Lesnar comes in and kicks him and F5s him, you know, boom, place pops like crazy. But it gave you a little reminder for everyone cheering for Brock. He is still supposed to be a bad guy. You realize. So it's okay that he's a dick here. Because I saw him as like, what an asshole. The guy was just trying to be like, oh, you're the better man.
I can see that. And then we get to, I call it Shield 2.0, but it's really Ambrose, Rollins, I mean, Ambrose, Reigns, and Orton versus the Wyatts. What do you think about this?
I love this. This stuff has been my favorite stuff on their TV, on the main event, the main roster TV for a while now.
Yeah, I'll agree with that, because you know what? It's cool because, I mean, we know it's Reigns and Wyatt, right? But what makes it interesting, what's making the TV so interesting, is they're able to play with all these other elements and six-mans, tags, singles, and it makes the build so much more better, just makes it more fun, because you're able to get all these parts and really, you can tell how it's just missing. That's how it actually makes this feud seem fresh.
It is exactly. You know? It's like I've been saying, this is like the eternal, it should be the eternal feud that they can always go back to.
That's a good
and they've
point.
Been doing this and we all know they all work really well together. You know, that's just proof, you know, when they initially had those matches. And there's so much continuity to it. Now, this has been going on since the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
This has been, and even before, if you want to get, there was the Ambrose Wyatt feud. It all ties together, and that is my favorite thing in wrestling. Long-term feuds that aren't about titles. It's about people who fucking hate each other and gangs of weird sorts, or maybe the one lone guy like Jimmy Valiant, but he's got his allies, you know, against this in a never-ending fight. And they've been doing it amazingly. I think it's the best book stuff that they're doing on the main show.
Definitely the most interesting.
And I'm looking forward to that Hell in the Cell match far more than I am the main event.
Really? Undertaker?
I can't wait to see it. I was like, ooh, that's going to be – I hope they pull out an amazing fucking match. But my emotional investment as a fan who immediately turns it all off and it's real and I'm into it is Wyatt's and Shield.
Let's go back to that, how you brought up. You're looking forward to this Hell in a Cell. I mean, coming out of the Mania match with Brock and Undertaker, I didn't want to ever see those guys wrestle again. Were you kind of in that boat?
Oh yeah.
Right. But they had a really good match at SummerSlam, didn't they?
They did.
Now I want to see them in the Hell in a Cell. So they've done their job in a way.
Oh, completely.
You know?
Completely. I'm not.
And I know you're not knocking it. This is not me trying to set up traps for you here.
well, good, because yeah. I never step in one.
Oh, yeah. But that's cool that they actually have two Hell in a Cells on both. I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah, because you're right. Because sometimes when they have to do two Hell in a Cell matches on the same card, which they sort of feel obligated to do, you know, many times, and I can't like pull any out of my head, but there's many times where I felt like, well, there's one that I felt deserved this gimmick.
Yeah.
And there's one that I thought maybe didn't really deserve this gimmick. Both of these deserve the gimmick on the same show. So, yeah, I'm very excited.
Do you think they'll go blood with Taker, Brock? I feel we're going to get blood in that match.
I'd rather have blood in the other one.
They're not going to use it for them. You know that.
No, you're asking what I wanted.
Okay. Yeah, I'm asking, do you think we're going to see blood?
The hard way, maybe. I don't know if he's going to. It's hard to say. It's so hard to predict when.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so many people. This is like the last bit of kayfabe. Whenever there's blood nowadays, we all have to go, that looks like it might have been, you know,
yeah,
a gig, but they will never ever admit to it. It's their last bit of kayfabe, and Vince is in on it, believe me.
Yeah.
And he's like, was that Hardway? Because there's been some cuts recently. And I'm like, that looks an awful lot like the bleeding you'd see in an NWA Crockett promotion.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I love that six-man, and I thought it was a great way of making Reigns look really strong, which he needed to be going into a Hell in a Cell in the co-main event. I guess he's technically, I don't want to call it a co-main event, but the semi-main. And I don't want to, you know, start yelling at me from street corners. But
there's going to be a 5-part podcast on that comment.
I thought they did a really good job here of really making Reigns look great. He's ready for Hell in a Cell. Because, you know what I mean? Sometimes they've messed it up where they haven't got the guy over enough, like he's ready for Hell in a Cell. Here, Reigns looks like he's ready for Hell in a Cell.
Sure, totally. And I still say this is the year of them building Reigns the way, obviously it's the rebuilding of him, but it's like the old-fashioned way that it should have been done rather than the quick push.
Yeah, well, these crowds are killing me because they're booing him still. And
I have not heard it.
It was very obvious here. Every time he's going on offense, they start booing him, and it's just like I was like terrified they were going to start booing him during the Susan Dudgy Corman.
The Harvey Corman breast
cancer. Yeah, I'm sorry. Doing the breast cancer awareness thing, I was like, man, it's scary to have both these baby faces out there.
I thought about that then, but I'm sorry. I'm just not hearing these boos during the matches that apparently people...
Yeah, it's there, man. It's there. Trust me, I don't want it to be there, so I'm not looking, actively looking for it.
Oh, no, I'm not thinking you're making it up. Yeah. I'm just not hearing it. I'm like, I'm hearing a lot of cheers.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing. It's weird. They're cheering his partners, but booing Roman when he goes on offense or makes a comeback or just something slight, but it's there. And then we get this Rollins-Kane-Stephanie thing. Is Stephanie turning babyface?
No.
Okay, because the next segment, she was a babyface again, too.
No, because everyone keeps... It's not that she's now a heel and now a babyface, now a heel and now a babyface. She's a fully formed human being character who's not just... one or the other. It maybe isn't the best thing to have in wrestling.
Right.
But it's not that they turned her baby face, now they turned her heel, now they turned her baby face in one show. No. It's about she's a complex character who has things she likes and people she likes and people she don't like. And she is this the one where she's talking about the, yeah. He comes out because he's talking about Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And she comes out and how dare you insult. Well, that actually stays with character, and they mentioned it on the air, is that there was footage of her in the skybox at the Super Bowl.
Last year, too. Yeah, that's right.
With the Patriots management. She's a known Patriots fan. So Seth, being the guy who always is fucking saying the wrong thing to his bosses, who are trying to mold him into their vision of a champion, you know, gets rated again because he fucked up again by insulting Stephanie's favorite football team. That's what that was. I get it that for a lot of people who maybe aren't watching and listening to every little thing going, well, now she's a babyface of this crowd, now she's a heel of this crowd. That's not what it is. It's this complex character thing. It may not work. Apparently it doesn't. I get it, but a lot of people apparently don't. So there you go.
And then we get the New Day and Steph. What happened there?
We get angry boss yelling at people. That was it. Vince did it a lot.
True. It sets up another Hell in a Cell match. I mean, not a Cell match, but another match at Hell in a Cell. Do you want to see this? It's feeling stale already.
Oh, I want to see it. I want to see both Hell in a Cell matches, and I want to see the other stuff they're setting up.
Oh, no, yeah, I get this. I'm talking about this match, New Day versus Dudleys, match 3.
Oh, okay. I do, because I enjoy the Dudleys, and I love New Day, so I have no problem.
So then the Dudleys aren't getting stale?
It's been, what, a month? No, they're not getting stale yet.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, feeling a little, probably because they've lost, or they haven't, you know, the constant DQs. It's almost feeling, it's very soap opera-esque, this angle right now, and,
The Dudleys and them?
Yeah, it feels very 2001 to me.
Whether you like it or not, soap opera-esque is, I'm going to use that term for something that's coming up. on this show.
Okay. And then we got the Team Bad Bella segment, which was fine out back of the thing.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, it's in Boston, Yankee hat. Can't go wrong.
Sasha flips her fucking hat off her.
Yeah. Now, and then, is it just me? But they just seem like they're, I don't know if they're actually, I don't want to say they're burying Sasha because they're not, but it feels like they're trying to make Naomi her equal. Do you think that's fair to say?
I don't think they're trying to make her seem an equal in so much as they want to make her seem like at least somewhat on the level.
Okay.
Because, and they're going to break this shit up too.
Oh,
They'll be the last one.
Yeah.
To break up, though, which will prove the fact, you know, that the bad girls, you know, rule.
Because in the whole entire thing right now, Sasha feels like she's like the rock in the Nation of Domination right now.
Why? Because they're all black?
Are they all black?
Well.
Is Snuka?
I'm speaking a joke, dude. They are. But I think with her, it's they know what they got, but they've committed to where they're going. And Sasha is still, at this point, was like just coming off of really leaving NXT. And they're going to, you know, get to her soon, I would.
Yeah, it just seems weird to me. I mean, just because Sasha comes across like this totally polished promo and character.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. There are times, and I believe she'll get over it because she's that good. There have been times when you see Sasha out there getting that reaction. You saw it on the show. And look over the crowd, and facially, her real emotions about being so happy to be there in front of that crowd and getting those chants shines through, and she's supposed to be a heel.
True, I agree with that.
It happens sometimes. I think she's so good. With a little time, you know, you'll get over that.
Yeah, what do you think of the match overall?
Oh, I thought the match was a lot of fun. Let me look at my notes here. Wow, because I guess we jumped over a match.
What did we jump over?
Dudley's versus Rollins and Kane?
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go on. We'll finish this segment, and then we'll talk about Rollins and Kane.
Okay, let me just... we want to edit? Or?
No, we won't even edit.
Okay, I just put down... Okay, good, because all I wrote was Sasha. I know it's... She was definitely the star of this match. Crowd made her the star of the match. She was the star of the match in the ring. I thought everyone did a decent job, definitely in the ring. Tamina, you know, is barely in it and just does what she does. And same thing with Brie. Alicia Fox is one of those ones that, like, sometimes you go, boy, she sucks. And then you go, no, she's good. It's like, I can't decide. She does that like within a match where she does some shit that looks great. And then she does some shit that looks like shit. But I enjoyed it. I was into Sasha being that emotional. You know, I enjoyed that. It was Boston, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah, I liked the finish. I thought the finish was really great.
Oh, the finish was great. Yeah.
I just thought it dragged a little bit in the Southern Tag formula. Dragged a little bit, but nothing horrible. I thought overall it was fine for what it was. What do you think of the Rollins, Kane, and Bud? Dudley's thing. That's why I probably didn't write the match down. That's why this match felt very soap opera-esque.
Okay.
And it felt like it was 2001. Okay. Because you had the Dudleys, you had Kane, and then you had Rollins, but you could have easily put Orton or Cena or Undertaker or Kurt Angle right. in that but, role. You know
but
what I'm saying?
But I don't know if I would have gone to 2001 for how it felt.
Okay.
Okay, with just, like, I'm like, this is fucking stupid. But, okay, before they did have the women with who had breast cancer out there with Reigns and Cena, and which goes to show you, it proves my point, that no matter what people might think, I've read this, people are like, well, you know, now they've just cut the legs off Roman Reigns now. I'm like, no, they haven't. They're doing exactly what I'm saying they're doing, and this was proof, because the two faces out there with those chicks were John Cena and Roman Reigns. Anyone who thinks they've given up on him is denying themselves.
Okay, 1 okay. to 10 on a scale. And I think he meant everything he said coming out of his mouth in that in the breast cancer awareness. But did he come across?
Probably.
But did he come across as phony? His whole face, you know, like he's happy-go-lucky, and he's just
no.
But that's not his character.
What is his, wait, his character is that he's a big fan of breast cancer?
No, it's just that he's a tough guy. It just seemed like it felt odd. Is what? Let me just put it that way.
Tough guys can't be against breast cancer.
No, it's not that at all. But still be a tough guy. It's like he's smiling and all this stuff. And
John Wayne did anti-cancer promos with a big smile on his face. Okay.
It felt like he was being a sugary baby face.
He was being sincere about a sincere issue.
Like I said, I believed every word he said. I don't think he
was he supposed to. Was he supposed to go? And you know, cancer. If I ever get my hands on you, I'm gonna break you in two. Believe that.
Well, he did say believe that at the end. So.
Yeah. Well, of course. Like, what else is he gonna say?
I don't know. It's just weird. Because, I mean, it might be because he just doesn't have a whole lot of time to be doing promos. So it just seemed like, okay, John. I mean, Roman, just trying to be real happy. You're here for the cause. And I mean, and it just, I don't know what it was. It was just something that was just felt disingenuous about him.
Well, he's not a super great promo yet.
And that probably might, I think that has a lot to do with it.
But I don't, you know, that's just it. You know, he's in there to follow Cena. You know, who's the king of the fucking mic, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But this match. And I have not hated this Kane Rollins angle, mind you.
But I find it entertaining. I find it entertaining on my TV, so I
did not find this entertaining. I felt like shit while I was watching it, and really tired. So I was not in a jovial mood to watch silliness, and I was just like, the whole thing just felt like a train wreck to me, and I like the angle. You know, hopefully it picks up, or you know, I'll be in a better mood next time. But this just caught me at the wrong time to like goofy shit,
right?
The match itself and everything just felt very clunky.
Yeah, I'm with you on this.
With it too, and I would have probably gotten over my feelings about the silliness if. The match had been better. It was all very clunky. It was all meant to get over the gimmick. The entire match is just all about what's King going to do. And it didn't work cohesively as a performance piece.
Yeah. And it just felt weird. I mean, it honestly, you could easily this match would take Rollins out of it though. It easily could have headlined SmackDown 2001.
Oh, well, yeah, the characters involved.
Yeah, exactly. And they move faster then. But I'm with you. It felt clunky. It felt off.
We had the table. Yeah. Oh, those are the cheapest pair of handcuffs of all time. It just got sillier and sillier.
Yeah.
Then it got more like ECW influenced Attitude Era shit.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, okay, then there's the tables. And, he wants to make sure Kane doesn't run away. So all of a sudden, he's got fucking handcuffs, Rollins does, and handcuffs Kane to the ring post so he can't run away and put on his magical demon suit.
Yeah, and it felt like something that would go on last on Raw. And it was like, whoa, we still have a lot
more. As soon as Bubba Dudley or Devon is thrown into Kane and he is flying off the ring apron, those handcuffs break immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bullshit. I hate that. I'm like, if you're getting now, it's one thing if you're like, I can't believe Mark Henry did that. Well, okay, it's Mark Henry. Otherwise, no, the handcuffs are not going to break. It doesn't happen. That always takes me out of it.
Right.
Of all the silly shit that takes me out of it, is that I know that handcuffs don't fucking break.
Yeah, no way. You'd more likely break your wrist breaking handcuffs.
I don't know why that's the one thing that bothers me about weird wrestling physics, but it is, and didn't help that was in this match.
So then we get up, a Charlotte and Becky interview. What do you think of this?
And that was after this match, or yeah. Jump forward again?
This is after the Bellas.
Oh yeah, okay. This is the Bellas. We flip my page here. Is it arrive in their limo? Remember when limos arriving cool. Got you excited?
Then, yeah. Clash 2, Lex Luger coming out to sign his contract. The Horsemen jump him and beat him up.
No, I'm thinking even during the Monday Night Wars and stuff.
Oh yeah, because you never knew. Oh, it's the new member of the NWO. Who's come, who's turned.
Yes, and it's far more, or even just guy who arrived. Like that's how they did Jarrett arriving.
Yeah,
and it used to be if you saw a limo, that thought something major was gonna fucking happen.
Yep,
I'm still conditioned to that, and then I go, oh.
Fellas.
Yeah, like okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, I keep expecting, like, you know, someone I've never, you know, oh my God, it's, I can't even think of anyone who would surprise me nowadays, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't even write any notes about this interview, so.
Yeah, it really wasn't anything. I'll say is they seem like they have fun together, like they enjoy each other's company.
Oh, yes.
And then we got Cena versus Big E.
They enjoy each other. That's a thinly veiled reference. Enjoy each other's company.
No, I wasn't going there. Dirty pig. What about Cena? Cena Big E. What do you think of this thing?
Loved it. Loved this. So Cena's out to do his U.S. title challenge, and Ziggler's music hits. But out comes the New Day. Dragging a lifeless Dolph Ziggler. And I'm like, fucking A, that's awesome. You know, New Day, I already saw where it goes. New Day is now showing a mean streak. But the trombone's still there. They're still acting goofy. But a little bit of a mean streak. And what they're doing is like, that's...
Goes a long way.
That goes a long way, man. They're dragging this lifeless motherfucker out. And then they do their shit and introduce Big E. They do the old Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
Like a one, a two, three, Big E. And Big E looks like, you know, he means fucking business.
Yep.
And gets in the fucking ring. I thought they had a super fun match. But there was one point where a lot of people have said, man, Cena is just so loud at spot calling. Again, I've never really heard it. I've heard like talk, but I can't like make out exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
Boy, did that camera catch him saying exactly this to Charles Robinson as he's getting ready to get up and toss Big E into the ropes. He looks over at Charles Robinson and says, Charles, tell him he's getting backdropped out. As loud as the day, and that's exactly what happened right there. And I was like, wow, I was expecting more like exactly like, you know, maybe a code or just a few words. This was exactly
word to word.
Word for word. I'm like, wow.
Blocked the scene for him.
Exactly. Despite that though, I thought they had a really fun match. And then you know, the ref is gonna kick out the New Day, and they come running in, it's big schmaz, the Dudleys are out. At the end of it, Ziggler accidentally kicks Cena.
Yeah.
Which we're going to be setting some stuff up there. Maybe for the Ziggler heel turn that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, no pun intended, you know, everyone's laying at the feet of the New Day. who, like I said, still acting goofy, but shown that we are not someone to fuck with. And I loved it. A lot of people I've said, read being like, oh, they're just taking away everything that made them fun by making them serious. No. Apparently, according to the SmackDown tapings and stuff, they're still acting goofy and stuff. But now they're acting goofy and to be feared. This is them running with an act that they, everyone knows, Vince knows. This is a hot fucking act.
Yeah.
And we run with this, and that means they're in the main event mix as a trio now. Yeah,
and they have been, you know, getting in the tags and the main event tags. I really hope they allow Big E to get move into the main events as a single star. I hope they're able to spin him out and make this actually a true stable as opposed to a tag team.
I want them to spin him out, but not break up the squad.
No, I don't want him to break up the squad. I want the three to be together, but I want Big E to be like Ric Flair. You know what I'm saying? As he's the point man of the group.
Well, he'd have to be because it can't be because a lot of people are going. Well, it should be Kofi because he's the vet. I've read people saying that. I'm like, no. Kofi needs to be the vet in the tag team with the young, smaller guy, who's also the mouth in the tag team. And if you have to have the guy who's a singles in that group, who still will tag team with them in six bands and what have you, of course it's Big E. He's the most obvious choice.
I mean, they're like a modern day Freebirds in a way. I mean, Xavier is Michael Hayes, Kofi's Buddy Roberts, the vet, and Big E's Bud is Terry Gordy.
And I'll just bet
Michael Hayes is dying.
Okay, right now, all three Freebirds are spinning in their grave, and Michael Hayes isn't even dead yet.
Yeah.
That you just made that comparison. I kid the racism of the Freebirds.
But do you think it's a fair comparison?
Oh, I completely agree, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have legs. I think it'd be something.
Oh, totally.
I think it'd be fresh. Totally. Yeah, they could still do the comedy. That's what you have Xavier there for, and Kofi. But, you know, you maybe have Big E be all business, you know? But
even still have Big E be fun.
At times.
And shit backstage. Let him still fucking dance and shit. But when it comes time to fucking get in the ring, you know, that he danced in this match. He shook his fucking balls
at
Cena in this. He can still do all that shit.
Yeah, he can definitely do it all. But do it in a serious manner as opposed to doing it for comedy. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I just think it's a matter of the... This is one of those instances where three guys laying guys out does more than the writing does.
Yeah.
And also the commentary helped this because they basically said, this is a dawning of a new day. You know, saying like, okay, that's the official stamp of where they're going now with this, this with the stable, that this is – you know, they've proved it. They've grabbed that brass ring that they talk about, and they're getting that push. And they're the ones getting it. For everyone complaining that they don't do that with the right people, and sometimes that's true, and sometimes I don't think it is. This is one time where they definitely are. You know, they know what they've got here. If they didn't, they'd be so stupid.
I mean, look at it. Like, even Edge. I mean, you don't use an Edge comparison. He was comedy in his tag team. But once he moved into the main event, he still kept some of his comedic, you know, things. But he went a little bit more serious and a little bit more, gave it a little bit more, the character a little bit more seriousness. And I can see that maybe with Big E, but keep the other guys as they're doing the comedy. But Big E can still do the comedy outside, do skits and stuff. But once the ring bells, maybe make him a little bit more serious.
Well, like I think it's not even so much, but it's not even so much they're doing like wacky skits. They're just fucking, you know. They're just trash talking about everyone to each other.
Yeah,
you know, he can still Big E can still come out and you know and do his preacher thing, and still be completely you know considered a badass. Look at him.
Oh yeah, and the thing is also they are over.
Totally, totally.
The crowd, they've almost like they're so over their Eclipse being over. Is that, I don't even know if that makes that.
They're white hot, man.
Yeah.
They're white fucking hot.
Yeah. So
and I love this, and the fact that we've all seen the story you know, and how this happened, you know, it's been documented, be it on the Table for Three or on Jericho's podcast or whatever. It's one of those things that when you pull yourself away, just to look at it from those eyes, you're like, good for those fucking guys, man.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Okay. So what do you think of Raw overall?
Raw overall, I enjoyed, that ending was too goddamn good for me to say thumbs in the middle, but that fucking Rollins Kane shit just stunk. But I don't get to focus on the negative because I'm like the New Day. because the Hell in the Cell buildup was great with the Wyatts and Shield, and the ending was fantastic. So for the Hulu version of this, fucking, yeah, definitely thumbs up. But just if anyone hasn't seen it and listens to this and wants to, fast forward that Dudley's tag match with them. It's just, it's not good.
Yeah, I'm going thumbs in the middle. There's some stuff I really enjoyed on the show. Some stuff I wanted to wait and see. And I didn't really, we really need it. Well, but we'll see. Overall, thumbs in the middle. And I guess that's it for this week in wrestling. Catch us next week. We'll be discussing some more stuff. I think maybe Battle of L.A., Bola, we'll be talking a little Bola action. We'll be talking the Ring of Honor TV tapings I was at.
Hey.
You know, we'll have another our Wrestling NWA Classic, along with other stuff, recaps. And then the ilk and that ilk. Johnny, anything you got to plug, say, anything?
Just the Brainbusters coming back. And be there.
It's here. Be there. It's here.
Take care.
Yeah. it's exciting times. So.
Karloff, sidekick, fuck you.
And have a great weekend. Have a great week, guys.